What's up, bro?
Hey, man, it's been a long time, and finally, we're here.
I had to prove to you that I wasn't avoiding you.
I thought you had turned on me like an ex-girlfriend. You were ghosting me.
I had to kind of ghost life for a while there. I started this new job, as you know, and it was it's been a lot to learn, and it was quite... I was kind of depressed for a while, I'll be honest. It took me a minute to get to the comfort level that I'm at now. So it was really difficult for me to do anything else but the one show that we do on Thursdays. So no slight to you, my friend. It's great to hear your voice again when you're talking to me and not me in chat or Aldo on the show on Bare Their Souls. So, dude, welcome back. It's great to talk to you again. And how you doing, man?
I'm well. Actually, I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. Since the last time we did a show, it turns out I'm getting married again, you know, and for a second time.
August 8th?
That is correct. Well, she's wanting to check out the show now, and I can't find the live link on YouTube. I keep saying your draft shows. Are we live on YouTube right now?
Yes, we are.
I can't find our show. What the fuck?
In fact, I had the stream going so I can talk and chat as myself, and it was blasting into my ears, and I forgot to turn down the volume. So,
well, I am looking right now for Bear's Country podcast, so I can send that to her. But the point is, I am getting married, and I'm happy about that, and I'm happy to be back,
dude. First off, congratulations! That is awesome. I have watched Dan and Aldo, you know, Bare Their Souls. I've seen what's going on in your life, and I'm really happy for you. You have definitely met your match, especially in bed. So that's
yeah, she's pretty good, man.
So are you getting married after a Marilyn Manson concert?
Before,
okay. Then him after backstage afterwards?
We've got VIP passes before the show. So to go backstage. So the goal is we'll wear our shit from our wedding backstage and make it look like he attended our wedding. dressed up and be like, oh, this is our wedding day with Marilyn Manson. Yeah. And then afterwards hope to get my friend Robin to grab our shit. Which actually, she'll be fine. She was going to wear a dress and like some fishnets anyway, so she'll fit in at a concert. My ass in August with a suit on, I mean, I know I could go to the dry cleaners, but god damn, it's going to be hot. So I hope to get out of clothes, do the concert, and then go back to the hotel and maybe drink a little bit, swim in the pool, and maybe do a little consummating.
Well, I hope you're going to do some consummating, but just be grateful that you're not wearing that suit in the South or in like Vegas or Arizona or something. It could be much worse, right?
Yeah. The farther south you go, that humidity, as you know, hits you like a fucking like brick in the face. I mean, it's not like Cincinnati is like chill. It's going to be hot. But yeah, like you said, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, enough to kill you.
Yeah. I mean, it's April here still. And in Atlanta is getting muggy. Like tonight I was doing yard work and I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? It's really like, it's only April and it's this muggy out here already. So you don't want to be wearing a suit anywhere near here in July,
right? Well, another thing too is like she'll have on heels and I'll have on like, you know, some dress shoes or whatever, and like I don't want to go into the pit with that shit on. So my goal is to hopefully meet my friend Robin will be with us as well. Maybe a little three-way. No, I'm just joking. She and I work together at another job, so there's no bullshit like that happening. But hopefully she can. She does not want to go see Manson. It's not her thing, though. So she'll be at the pool or whatever at the hotel chilling, and supposed to come hopefully get our shit and take it back and switch clothes with us. Or at the very least, like I said, Nikki can watch what she's dressed in. She just needs some better shoes. You know, she can't be in a mosh pit in heels.
Right. That's
for sure. The main thing.
Unless she's
thank you, Cliff.
Passed around the whole time, right?
You know, that's the thing, though. So both of us had, you know, been married before, and we're like, you know, like God, like I said, I was on a beach. It was 25 grand. I don't know the exact figure of hers. It doesn't matter. She spent money, you know, and she didn't want to spend money this time. So we were like, all right, we'll do it at a courthouse. But how do we make that exciting? The Manson thing seems exciting. So we'll see how that goes. Maybe we get to Chicago in the fall. So I give you a transition there, a little segue. I was speaking with our guy, Chris Watts, who says he's coming into Illinois to celebrate your 50th anniversary of life, your birthday.
Yes.
In December. So yes. I was hoping maybe to attend a game with you all. But I don't know. My guy, Ron, I was trying to hit him up to buy tickets from him. And I guess he, when the schedule comes out, it'll be more complete. But he hasn't responded. But he's a busy guy. He's a business owner. And Aldo doesn't want to go to any games this year other than they're supposedly going to Europe. But there's a chance we might not be able to come. Maybe we'll be able to come. We'll see. We'd like to at least get to one game this fall.
Yeah, Chris wants to come out here for, he said like a week before Christmas. And then my birthday is Christmas. So a week before Christmas and then right past New Year's.
And how big of a megalomaniac are you to steal Jesus Christ's birthday? You asshole. I'm kidding. Of course.
What can I say?
Yeah, but I'd like to see hang out with you and Chris, of course, and Kitty. Is Kitty going to be going around to a game, maybe?
Yeah, she'll be there with, yeah, of course.
Your cousin? Yeah. What about your cousin, the guy I met in 22? Was it 22? Yeah.
Hopefully, yes. That's the first guy they would be coming with, yes, of all people. Hopefully, we can get enough tickets for everybody. You know, when Chris was in town and we went to the Vikings game.
And met George McCaskey, no less.
Twice, both games. The guys sitting in front of us, because there was all this commotion around us, you know, photographers, people talking to us. And so the people in front of us are season ticket holders. And they, of course, everyone's like, what's going on? You know, so the whole story was kind of, you know, going viral around our immediate section. So the guys in front of us offered me their seats for whenever they don't go to a game. So I got their number, and it would be awesome to line that up if there is one of those games at the end of the season that we can all maybe get, because that'd be a total of six seats we could align together.
Well, worst case scenario, if we could just, like, if we can't be in the same section, just, you know, hang out before and after or whatever, would be great.
Absolutely, man.
Well, we'll see. I can't make that promise right now. She and I got the wedding or the marriage, we'll call it. And we've got a bunch of concerts. Again, she, you know, her kid's graduating high school this year. So she's been a mom for a long time and just been selfless and not doing any fun activities. So I got her going to a bunch of fucking concerts to still be young and have fun while we can, because we're in our 40s, man. You're leaving the 40s. She and I are in their 40s, and we don't want to die yet. So we're going to try to have fun and hopefully get to Chicago, because she's never been to Chicago.
I can tell you what, dude. How old are you now?
I will be 44 on Halloween.
Oh, you baby. I'm such a baby.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm still here.
I felt great at 44, and it started to turn on me at like 45. 46 was just a little bit worse. Now I'm 49. It's like, what's going on with my back? You know, like, yeah. You're looking for the next thing to kill you. You know, oh, should I go see a doctor? What was that? Like, you know what I mean?
Is that a heart attack starting? Is that beginning? Yeah, is my heart trying to kill me? Is that the first sign that my heart's trying to kill me?
Yeah, right around there. Yep. Yep. So that's when you start to slow down and become, you start to just enjoy life, and you become kind of sentient in your own world, and you do what makes you comfortable. What you need to do is do what doesn't make you comfortable so that you can live longer. So you gotta start working out, man.
I thought you were going to say I needed to like masturbate with a vibrator or something like that. No. Doesn't make me comfortable, but it might make me finish.
But just go jog around the block twice a day, you know, like that kind of stupid stuff.
I can't. No. I'm in great walking shape. I don't get tired to about 7 miles before I would get maybe six, but seven's usually when I start to feel fatigue. I'm not in running shape, but even furthermore, my knees at like 43, my knees would hurt for like 10 days if I had to run significantly. But your point is still taken. That is my goal when she moves in and stuff, for us to exercise regularly and for me to get regular sleep, because during our little courtship of getting back together and blah 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 and doing lots of fucking, we've not been doing lots of sleeping.
Yes, I understand how that goes. All new relationships are like that. You spend countless hours just, you know, wasting time, and you get 2, 3, 4 hours of sleep at night sometimes. It's kind of how it's been for me with this last draft.
Speaking of the draft, I don't know if anybody wants to, because I took so much heat on Aldo's show, not from Aldo, but from some of the guys in the chat room, and that's okay. They can have their opinions. You know, basically for me being a Justin Fields lover, that kind of thing. And I was, but the big announcement, this has already been known to most people listening. I am an idiot. I'm a complete dummy, as evidenced by, you guessed it, I've already bought three Caleb Williams jerseys, the white, the orange, and the navy.
And which one of those ones was 13 at first?
No, they're not 13. I bought them after he was drafted, and about an hour after the draft, Patrick Finley disseminated to the world via X/Twitter that it was going to be 18. So shout out to Mike Tomczak or Kyle Orton, two guys that wore 18 back in the day. So I bought it straight. I don't buy it from China. No offense to the Asian friends, but they have terrible cheap jerseys over there. And I'm buying them straight from Fanatics. Actually, I bought the white one and the navy together on Fanatics. And then like a few hours later, I just was like, God, I got to get the orange one too. And there were only 8 available left in the orange. So I was like, okay, I'm getting it. God damn it. And I got that one straight from the Bears.
Of course you did. I would expect nothing other than that from you, man.
Sometime over the fall, I'll need to get the 1930s throwback when, you know, with the orange up top and the navy numbers and white. I assume we'll wear that one at least one night this season, because Caleb had a photo of that Michigan looking helmet the day after the draft. He was, you know, he took a bunch of photos, and one of them was holding that helmet. So I assume later they'll have that jersey on sale of him as well. You can't customize that one or anything, so I have to wait. But yeah, I've already gotten three.
You are aware of this phenomenon that was going around? Like, did before the draft, like a week before the draft, there was a phenomenon going around that you could not purchase the number 18.
Yeah, you told me that. You're right. You were so right. I got to give you props, man. No sarcasm. You told me this theory that you could not customize a Williams 18 jersey, and that proved to be true, man. That was, you were right.
It's right here. I went from 0 to 19. In fact, I even put in a Williams with one more L, and it would let me with 18. But it would not let me buy an 18 Williams jersey a week before the draft.
You are so right. You called it, man. Like, for real. I'll give you a shout-out tomorrow night with Aldo as well.
That's crazy, man. So, yeah. I mean, why do you think that is?
Because they knew what number he was going to be wearing. And, you know, they were going to make you pay for, I don't know, man. They knew that was the number. So fuck it. You're going to just buy the one that says Caleb Williams and not customize.
Right.
Or just Williams, rather. But yeah, I'm happy about it. You know, like, God, the interview where they had him watch his mom talk, like the message she made, and like watching like his emotion and stuff. Like I bought in pretty quickly just to his character and his, like, because I thought all those weird, like, you know, that he's maybe too arrogant, maybe thinks too much, everything's about him. Those are the kind of things I worried about when I was definitely saying, let's keep Justin.
Right.
And, but after, you know, he does have humility. He is very grounded. He says his mom is his best friend, and his girlfriend maybe is his best friend now. And talked about all the countless hours his mom drove him around and helped him get to where she's at. And so, yeah, man, I like him. I like him. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I mean, I like him. Like, I fell in love with him platonically the day after the draft.
The fact that his parents allowed him to have his own apartment when he was in high school.
Yeah, and was able not to fuck up.
Right. And, you know, a little secret here. you know, I really barely scouted Justin Fields in that draft because I just didn't think that he was going to even be a possibility for us. I thought he was going 2 or 3. And then just kind of some of the things I saw were kind of some of the things that I saw over the course of his career with the Bears, that it was just kind of like, I'm not sure if it would translate. He was a much better runner, but his passing didn't really equate to his college career. And for whatever reason, we can speculate on that. But by his first year in the league, I watched like Caleb Williams' first pass, and I said to my wife, I'm like, damn. I mean, I love Justin Fields. I think he's going to be an MVP in a couple of years, but I wonder like what it would be like to have the first pick in the draft with this kid. But I never even thought to go there in my mind because it was never even a possibility. I thought Shane Waldron was the reason why he was hired was for Justin Fields because of what he did with Geno Smith. And he's 1,000 times better than Geno Smith, but similar in a lot of ways. And so, When they traded Justin, I sat there with my jaw in my lap for a while. I couldn't believe it because I was like, they're not. And then I couldn't believe that they were going to actually draft Caleb Williams. I thought that the Bears were going to be the Bears and fuck this up somehow and trade that pick because they wanted Drake May or JJ McCarthy or something.
I'm glad they didn't get Drake May, by the way.
And I explained this to my friends. It's like I went and, played the lottery, like a billion-dollar lottery, right? And I had the numbers in my hand, and that night before the draft, I was like, okay, or before the lottery, I'm going, okay, well, all the things I could do with this, I could start a bank, all the people I could help with it, you know, all of this and that. And then you wake up the next morning, and those numbers are not even close to yours. That's how I thought this was going to turn out for us on draft day. And so I refused to even buy into it because I didn't want to think of all the things we could do with this quarterback until it actually became a reality.
And right,
even right now, I'm sitting here just like, I can't believe, you know, Justin Fields he had a lot. He had some of the best passes I've ever seen any quarterback of the Bears throw, bar none. But it just, there was flaws to his game as a quarterback. And this kid for me, with watching his first pass and watching him in college and just thinking it's wow, what would that be like to now him being our quarterback is, you know, we love Justin and thank you for your time with us on this team, but this is different. It's just different. And the excitement that's going around this, the buzz that's going around the city right now, all the fans it's something special. It feels like something special is actually in the brewing right here, especially when you start adding the wide receiver to the mix. And as somebody said in the chat here, you know, it was his, like Caleb Williams wanted Rome Adunze.
Oh, clearly.
And then, you know, now they're teammates. It just feels like serendipitous in a way. So Let's start getting the pole statue ready, because when the new stadium comes up, we can put it outside somewhere between the columns in the park.
Yeah, did you see? I think I sent it to you. Where Fanatic said that overnight, the Caleb Williams jersey was the best seller of any sport at any time after a draft like that.
He's already broken his first record.
Yeah, and the previous record was that the lady from the kicked ass in college basketball. That's in the WNBA now. Was it Caitlin something? I don't know. I don't watch college sports, so.
Caitlin Clark, yeah.
Yeah. She's badass, though, every time I saw her in SportsCenter or whatever. But, yeah, her jersey was the best-selling of all time in one night until Caleb came along, so that's pretty cool.
That is, like I said, it's his first record. He's already broken. He hasn't even thrown a pass yet. Like, follow along with me, Dan. There's never been a rookie quarterback to win a Super Bowl. What if
Ben Roethlisberger was 15-1 in 2004, but they lost the championship game? So it'd be great. Like you said, what if we could get there? Why not get your hopes up?
Didn't Andrew Luck take the Colts to the Super Bowl in his, or the championship game in his first year? Or was it his second year? I forget.
I think it was his third.
No, it wasn't his third. It was
yeah, because it was second. Fox's last game with Denver. He beat Denver at Mile High or whatever they call it now, and Fox came to Chicago after the game. So it was this 14 season was the last time they went to the championship game. Not to be a know-it-all, but I feel like that's pretty accurate, honestly.
Pepe Silva says, I think Fields broke the record for jersey sales as well when he was drafted, but I could be wrong.
I bought some. I bought at least one. I bought one when Fields was drafted. I bought three for Caleb.
I think you are correct, Pepe. I think you are correct on that one. It just feels... I mean, is that... Could that trade... Let me get to that after this. What if? I mean, there's never been a rookie quarterback to win the Super Bowl in his first year as a rookie, hence rookie quarterback.
Right.
The Bears have been known for the most futility of quarterback in all of NFL history. As far as any team is gone, they're the worst. Like, how fucking crazy would it be if he comes in with the staff around him, the players around him that they brought in, and we have one of those magical seasons where there's ne'er an injury, you know, we get all the lucky calls, the lucky bounces, we get the Calvin Johnson drop in the end zone that changes a rule, kind of a, you know, shit that goes on, like in 2006, the first game, and we win a Super Bowl in the first year. Could you imagine that?
And then it doesn't
go away. It's not like a one hit wonder. It's like now we're competing with Mahomes every year. It's like we're annoying everyone. It's like Mahomes against Williams.
I don't want to be greedy. I mean, for real, if we could just get one, man, I was five when the Bears won Super Bowl 20. So I would like, just to give you an example. I used to be a huge baseball fan. I mean, massive baseball fan, just as much as the Bears. I mean, that's probably not true, but it was like 1A and 1C, if you will.
What team?
The Reds. I was a Reds fan my whole life from 87 until after they forced Dusty Baker out. The reason I referenced this, though, the Reds along the way in my fourth season as a fan won the World Series in 1990. And when they acquired Ken Griffey Jr., they just didn't try to win. They didn't put any talent around him. They just thought Ken will sell tickets. And so he was on just a litany of bad teams. Kind of what they did with Votto, too, after Dusty was forced out. But the point is, I was okay with it. I didn't want to lose. I wanted him to win. I wanted Ken Griffey to get a ring, all that stuff. But I didn't feel like I'm being cheated or I'm going to miss something or what, because I already had the one in 90 and it was okay for me. It wasn't okay to lose. I was frustrated, but I didn't feel like if they never won another one again, I would be so unhappy with my personal life and everything as a result of it, the way I feel with the Bears. You know, we lost Super Bowl 41 when I was 26, won Super Bowl 20 when I was five. I just want one. Can you give me one as an adult? And then you can give the rest of them to Mahomes or Green Bay or whoever the fuck. I just want one. Just give me one. And if we win others along the way, great. If we don't, though, I won't feel like shit. You know, like it will feel like it justifies my entire life as a fan. If we could just get one, man, it would be like, oh, I was in the trough, man, and just struggling when they're 4-12. And shit like that, it'll feel like it justifies my 35, 37, 38 years as a fan, whatever, you know?
Yeah. You got Nucky Knox saying, I'm a Bears fan and a huge Dan A fan.
Yeah, but that's who I'm fucking. So she's biased.
That's your fiance, though, right?
That is, yeah.
Oh, okay. Not the one you're fucking on the side. That's your.
No, guess. I'm not fucking anybody on the side. That's okay. Her.
Okay. That makes sense. Oh man, I totally lost my train of thought with that one. I envision. You know, you remember like even before Mahomes, there was. It was almost like every year there was a run on quarterbacks that was just like, you know, the next year was who's the next quarterback that's going to come up? You know, it was like Luck and so and so, it was, you know, all the way up to Joe Burr. It's like quarter. There was like a quarterback who was in his first or second year that just took the world by storm, and then, you know, kind of became a star from that point on. And that's what I thought Justin was going to be, but obviously, you know, here we are with Caleb. What if he's that guy? I mean, what if he is the guy that just transcends it all, blows this whole thing up? And yes, maybe it's just one Super Bowl right now. I don't want to get greedy either, but wow. I mean, it's
like, if I were Aldo, just for example, Aldo was like, you know, 26 when they won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. When the Bears won 20, like, I'm not saying he doesn't want it as much as we do, because I'm not, you know, it's not a dick measuring contest. Right. But considering he was an adult through the 85 run, I mean, he got to experience it all through adult eyes. And dude, like, if they never win again, Aldo's he's got to be chill. Like, he went through that. Right. He saw every game Walter played. I only saw Walter at the end, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, like, how could he? I mean, I'm sure he's fine. Like, it'd be great if we won another one, but he experienced like the Mecca.
Right.
And that's what I want now. Just give me one. And if they end up being great for a long time, I'll love it. And if they suck, I'll still be a fan because I can't go away. I'm addicted to this shit, you know?
This is the kind of thing, though, like, what we're seeing here in this moment is, it's so like, just, it's serendipitous. It's so out of the realm of Bears like that. It's almost like, it almost makes it difficult to not think like huge, like dynasty in my eyes. You know, like, what did you grade the draft out of an A to an F? A minus.
Oh, I haven't thought about that, but I'll say an A. And let me just preface this by saying I don't watch college football. I mean, if it's on, I'm not going to like complain and say, turn that shit off. I mean, I don't hate it. I'm just bored by it. And most of it is like, you know, when you got like Stanford, for example, is going to be having to play so many games on the East Coast now. And like, here I'm in West Virginia, so they can't play Pitt or Virginia Tech regularly, but they can go to Texas three times a year. Like, that kind of shit's, I mean, it's just, that's the reason I don't like college football. There's no, anyway. I don't watch
college football either. If it's okay, not, I'll put it on, but I don't go looking for it.
Well, here we go. Caleb, obviously, I was happy, right? The wide receiver, I had one friend who's like, oh, you don't want him. You don't want him. He can't run routes. He's Kevin White. I'm like, God, don't say that shit. Kevin White was hurt all the time. But I was still happy the wide receiver. But then the next day, I'm asleep because I had to be at work at 4 p.m. So I wake up to the news of the punter, and I was like, man, our punter, Gil, like, he has been bad the last couple of years. I mean, really bad. Like, Trenton Gill has been terrible. So when you're telling me that this guy's the best college punter in the nation, but let me preface that too. We said that when we drafted Todd Sauerbrunn from West Virginia University in 1995 in the second round, no less. And he was a bum for us. He was okay later on with Denver, but he was a bum for us. But anyway, all things equal, you tell me we have the best punter in the nation now, at least in collegiate play, then I like the pick. And then they trade back up and get an edge rusher, and they get an offensive lineman along the way who was a local kid too. So to me, again, on paper, quarterback, wide receiver, offensive line, punter, edge rusher, we needed all of those positions. I don't know if the lineman he's a project. If the edge rusher, he's a project and they're not going to play much. I don't know, but it fit all, if all of those positions needed filled, all of them. So I like it. On paper, I look at the draft and think, oh, that's the best draft we've had since the 80s.
I'm not going to lie. In that round, in the fourth round, when they drafted the punter, I was like, what? Like, what? Because I asked the panel, I said, when's the last time any one of you guys complained about Trenton Gill? Because I don't ever like really remember.
Oh, I did. I did.
Well, that's what everyone else said. They were like, oh, yeah, well, they said the same damn thing.
So he was terrible.
Okay, fair enough. But then everyone's like literally... Thai here, who's our new producer, he was in the show with us, and he said, he was like, So now we got a generational quarterback and a generational punter. Or I think you said blue chip quarterback, blue chip. We got a blue chip quarterback, a blue chip wide receiver, and a blue chip punter. And I was like, no, there's no way he's that good. And then I go watch his film and you hear the guy talk and he's got that Aussie accent. You're like, oh yeah, rugby player. And you watch him. He actually kicks the ball in a lot of different ways. He uses his foot to make different spins on the ball. So like one kick might be straight up with his leg and the other kick might be like off to the side with his leg. And another kick might be like even more off to the side with his legs. So his legs all the way over there like that. And you watch that ball spin and it's like a golfer putting the backspin on a ball, you know, it hits the 2 yard line and it bounces back to the 4. And you start to think, okay.
Can I read you something? Can I read you something?
No.
I want to the answer is yes. I want to juxtapose the new guy, the one we drafted, Taylor, with Gill. Like, just follow me on this. Taylor, the draft pick, is known for having a monster leg, and he left Iowa with several NCAA records. I'm reading this verbatim. His 46.3-yard average over his career and his 4,479 total punt yards in 2023 are both the best marks of all time. Taylor's also adept at pinning down opponents. He had 32 punts inside the 20-yard line last season. His punts led to 29 fair catches. For his efforts, Taylor was named unanimous All-American last year and won the Ray Guy Award, which recognizes the top punter in the nation. Now, the dichotomy between the two, listen to Mr. Trenton Gill. Trenton Gill, 38.0 net yards, was ranked dead last in the NFL in 2023. His 11.9% touchback rate was tied for the third worst in the National Football League. Gill's 26.9% of punts inside the 20 was the fourth worst in the NFL. So there you go. Trenton Gill, I'm sorry. I know we drafted him like 2 years ago. He's a bum.
So what you're telling me is I could not have looked like a bigger asshole for asking that question to everybody, like six people on the show.
Well, I mean, to defend you, I mean, I think if we were in the heart of October, November, you'd more likely to remember like what he did last Sunday. And you're like, you know, pissed about it. Like this guy, he just see what he did. But you're talking 6 months after the season, or at least it feels that way. It's been a while, at least 5 months, four and a half, five. So, you know, maybe you just didn't retain that part of how shitty he was, because especially with the specter of Justin Fields, every day it's like, oh, are we going to keep him? Are we going to trade him? Are we drafting Caleb? Like that shit went on for so long. I'm just so glad that's over, by the way. Either way, if we were going to keep Justin or draft Caleb, at least we know now.
I mean, everyone in chat is saying the same thing. Like Pepe Silva. Sylvia, he was Iowa's entire offense because their actual offense is always terrible. You got a lot of reps. Cliff saying he had 109 punts within the 20 yard line. Holy shit! Now you know. I mean, listen. I said this in someone's chat today. Like I would never have believed that I'd be laying there at 2 o'clock in the morning last night, impressed as hell, watching a fucking punter. I mean, I was watching a punter at 2 o'clock in the morning on my phone while I was trying to fall asleep.
Here goes your question.
I couldn't fall asleep because it was enjoyable watching a punter. So, yeah.
I mean, like we all finally think about Maury Buford because he, you know, was on the 85 Bears. And then, you know, there were some guys along the way that were pretty good here. That we had Brad Maynard for a long time from 01 through 10, I believe, even though he had two terrible shanks in playoff games, especially in that Eagles playoff game in 01. But who do you think was the best punter the Bears have had? That's a question. Like, again, Sauerbrunn was kind of
he didn't live, you know, up.
A bust.
He wasn't a second round pick, though.
He was a second round in 1995. He was. Look it up.
I did. I'm wrong then. You must have looked. Never mind. I'm not going to fuck with your memory.
Was I wrong or right? If I'm wrong, please point it out. I think I'm right, no, though.
I thought he was a you might be right.
I'm going to look it up, and we're going to get to the end of this. It's not about pounding my chest or something. It's just like, I'm fairly certain that I remember that correctly. Because, again, he played here, too. He was drafted by the Chicago Bears in the second round of the 1995 draft. That's straight off his Wikipedia page.
That's why I said I'm not fucking with your memory. You got
second
it.
Round pick, 56 overall.
And he was crap for a second round pick.
Oh, he was, yeah. You figure in Chicago, I know what Wani was trying to do. Like, man, coffin corner, bad weather. This dude will, like, be just like Ray Guy with the Raiders is what we thought. Because he had a 97-yard punt at West Virginia. No, it rolled some. It rolled some. But he had a 97-yard punt. And suffice to say, that's what got him drafted in the second round.
True. And the last guy that had a big leg like this a couple years ago ended up having sexual charges against him.
Oh God, who's that? Is that the guy from Buffalo?
That was like a Leggett. What was his name? It was like two or three years ago. And there was like allegations of students at school that he was allegedly making sexual advances to them that weren't warranted.
No.
Matt Areza. Thank you. Matt Areza. Yeah. I don't remember what happened with that. I think he might have been let off from it, but it still fucked up his career. So, but you look at this kid and it's, yeah, I see what everyone is saying here in chat. And everyone has been saying before this, before he's even drafted, before I even knew who he was. Because I'm not looking at punters.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm down. I mean, if that dude can spin that ball to where it can land consistently within the 20-yard line all the time and preferably within the 5 or 10, I mean, that's the field position game. How many times have we been stuck there like, fuck, we're pinned back in our 5 again? Half the game, we can't get up past our 5-yard line.
You know, our very own, the guy that we both are big fans of, coming on your show soon, Eric Kramer.
Yes, well, Eric Kramer is going to join us this Thursday again, guys.
I think the best, if I had to pick a punter in my answering my own question in my lifetime, who I thought was the best Bears punter in my lifetime, I would say it was Mr. Kramer's punter. Chris Gardocki, who we let walk and go to Indianapolis, if I recall correctly. But I think Gardocki was the one I had the most confidence in, thinking, all right, he's gonna pin them deep for us.
I did like Brad Maynard, but you bringing up Gardocki, you make a good point.
Maynard had two awful punts in playoff games that really, really hurt us. The one was against the Eagles. The other one was maybe the championship game against Green Bay. But he had two. No. Yeah, I think it was the Green Bay one. He had just a shank, but definitely against the Eagles. And then, ironically, Patrick O'Donnell had a shank against the Eagles in the I don't even want to talk about it. The field goal, the double doink.
Oh yeah.
Every time we lose a playoff game, our punter shits the bed. Is what I'm trying to say.
That was actually blocked.
Well, you're talking about the field goal. Either way, I'm talking about the punter, though. Pat O'Donnell had a bad punt in that game as well. Like, whenever we need a big punt, it's in the playoffs, and it's crucial, our punter's always fucking, like, it's like, there's the old 17-yard punt. This is the one we've been looking for.
True. That's true. Okay, yes, you're right. You're reminding me of Trenton Gill. Yes, thank you. Okay.
Trenton Gill, Patrick O'Donnell, Brad Maynard, all these guys had bad kicks at bad times. But Trenton Gill never had a good punt. I don't remember him ever having a good punt.
Chad is lighting up about Matt Areza. He's cleared and he's with KC now. That would make sense. Why not? I love the new thing with Tory Taylor, Crocodile Punter.
I mean, he can come like Paul Hogan and be like, that's not a punt, this is a punt, and like give us, you know, a bomb.
By the way, what do you think about like 2 days being a Bear and like this has already been coined?
Yeah, with Caleb doing the growl thing with his hand, I like it. I dig it. I'm a mark for Bear stuff, man.
And I know there's been a lot of I heard on the Score today that it's actually the Bear Man, you know, the guy, the main
I've met him, he's a great guy.
He's the one that does this. But the fact that Caleb came up with that in his own head and didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's coining this now. Like, all he has to do is sit there at the Laker game and go, and everyone knows what he's doing. That's, I mean,
it's phenomenal.
It took 24 hours. It was less than that. It was on the plane ride back to Chicago after the draft.
I met Bear Man in Chicago after the Dolphins game that we were at together. And then I met him. He was at the Browns game that I was at last year. So I've met him twice. He's a gentleman. Yeah, I didn't know that he coined that either. But Caleb doing it again makes me excited, man. I'm all things Bear, man. And it's good. Like, I don't want to say this gentleman's name because, you know, it's hard. As you know, it's hard to get guests on your show sometimes. And you don't want to be critical of your guests. But we had a dude last week that just shit on me every time he got a chance. He's like, oh, you're too young to really be a big fan. Oh, you're from West Virginia. You're not really a big fan. And that's not a verbatim quote, but dude, I didn't say, I just smiled and continued to be fake about it. But it's just, at least I can be a fan here and be happy about Caleb Williams giving the gesture and not have someone tell me I'm not a real fan or something, you know?
I mean, there's two examples of people that have, that did not grow up in Chicagoland that are just as big as fans of the Bears as I am. That's you and Chris Watts.
Yeah. How could anyone question Chris Watts or Heidi? They both travel internationally to Bears games.
Yes.
And for me, again, not to pound my own dick, it's a 9-10 hour drive, which I've done, which is terrible, which I'll just fly all the time now. But either way, you're going to fly, you're going to get to Chicago, you're going to pay $40 in your Uber to go somewhere, you're going to pay to go to the game, you're going to pay to get Ubered back to where you're staying, and then your hotel is going to be $600. So it, like, you can't say that the dude that's living at the house and it's an easy drive over, I'm not saying he's less of a fan, but I'm just saying we are real fans, like, to have to go through the extra stuff.
You're 100% right.
Or even yourself, like, I know you were from Illinois back in the day, but, like, you know, you're driving from Florida or Georgia, and, like, because of your dogs, you don't even want to fly, you want to drive with your dogs. So that's a fucking haul, man.
Yeah, I'm coming back to Illinois in 2 weeks. Another 13-hour drive there. But then that's like one of like four trips I'm going to be doing back again this year, because I'll come back for another Bears game or two if I can. And then Chris Watts and you, Jason UK Bears, they're going to both try to join us for my birthday and try to hopefully make a game again. So that's going to be another trip. Yeah, it's not easy, man. It's not, but damn. It isn't.
I went to four games last year, too. I went to the Packers game on opening day. I went to the Broncos game that we led 28-7 and lost. I went to the game that our boy from West Virginia won against the Raiders. Remember, you wanted his jersey. I'm calling you out.
Wanted his jersey.
And then I went to the Browns game in Cleveland. So I went to four games last year.
You're calling me out.
Aren't you glad you didn't buy that jersey? I'm pardon me for eating a banana right now, by the way.
I didn't buy it. Listen, I didn't go online to buy a Caleb jersey for myself. I just went to see if I could. I don't buy jerseys like that, dude. I'll buy a jersey when I know it's worth spending $150 on a jersey.
It's time. You got to go in on the kid. It's time.
Well, I almost did, but I'll wait a minute.
Are you going to wait until he wins a couple of games early in the season?
No, I'll wait until it dies down and I can get it shipped here in a week instead of 6 months from now, because the fucking sales went through the roof.
True, true. I'll give you that.
That's enough right now.
I'll give you that.
What's up, Brian Benson, Dylan Prescott? Thanks for joining us. Illinois Jones, thanks for joining us. Hopping in chat with us tonight. Yeah, I mean, I don't buy jerseys like that. Like, you hop on and buy, you probably already have a Roma Dunze on the way.
I do not. There have been a lot of wide receivers. Like, I always wanted Bernard Berrien and never pulled the trigger. Man, I loved Bernard Berrien. I loved Alex Brown. I didn't buy, of course, he's a defensive end. But a couple of guys I always wanted but didn't buy, but I do tend to buy the quarterbacks.
It's like, I would buy an Alex Brown now because he was a proven enough player and he's a big enough, what's the word I'm looking for? He's in the community still. He's on NBC Sports Chicago. He's on the podcast. He's like you know, a true Bears fan now. He lives in Chicagoland. You know, so like I would buy his jersey, even though he's not a Hall of Famer.
Right.
But those are the kinds of players I like to wait until I buy their jersey. Like the last one I fucked up on was Trubisky. It's like, I'm not.
Yeah, I bought the Mets. That's what I'm saying. Like over the years, I bought, you know, Trubisky. Obviously, I've had four Justin Fields jerseys. I still love Justin. I wish him well. I've got the Caleb ones. But going back to that, my first jersey, I told Eric this, my first authentic jersey I ever bought was in 1997 of Eric Kramer, and I still have it. God, I even had Jim Miller, man. And the opening day, remember we went 13-3 and we lost to the Eagles, right?
Yes.
Opening day in 2002, Jim Miller leads a big comeback against the Vikings. We're down 10 in the fourth, and he throws a game-winning touchdown to David Terrell. And I'm like, it's real. It's fucking real, man. This isn't a one-season thing. Yeah, Jim Miller. I bought the fucking jersey, and we're 4-12 that year. Had Jim McMahon, obviously. I had all the Rex jerseys. Rex Grossman. I did not like Kyle Orton. I didn't buy any Kyle Orton or Brian Greasy, but I loved Rex, and I loved me some Jay Cutler, who it's his 41st birthday today, by the way. Jay Cutler, happy birthday, pal.
Dude, you can still be playing right now. What the fuck?
I had all the Jay jerseys, man. I love Cutler. So, yeah, I always waste your... Well, no, here's the worst purchase I ever made. Are you ready for it? No. This is on par with me telling you that I like... What's something that would be really embarrassing a guy would never tell anybody? Like, if I just... And this is not true, by the way. But if I came out to you and said, I love bestiality porn, that would be something I should keep to myself. And so is this jersey purchase. After Jay was forced out, dude, I bought a Mike Glennon. The worst jersey of all time. Phil Latoshin and Shane Marsaw, they got me to cut it up with scissors, and I was grateful to do so. I cut up the entire jersey with scissors because he was that bad.
That's it. You're getting pulled from the show, Dan. All right. Dan's gone. That's the end of the show, guys. We can't deal with Dan buying a fucking Mike Glennon jersey. He's done. Show's over.
By the way, it was in the off season, though. I bought it like after he was, signed. I was like, all right, well, I'll support the team. You know, Jay's gone, whatever. And then he was just awful. Again, I cut it up with scissors, man, for Phil and Shane.
You know what? You get what you deserve on that one. You get what you deserve on that one.
I also bought a Jared Allen white one when he came from Minnesota. And you talk about a bad purchase.
What did you pay for that Mike Glennon jersey?
We're talking what, 6-7 years ago now? It was something like, you know, $100 or whatever. They weren't as expensive as they are now.
Yeah, you're killing me, dude.
It's totally awful. And then there are players that I really like Jordan Howard. I had a Jordan Howard, but it's like he was so solid, and then Nagy took over, and suddenly he just didn't feature him, and like suddenly that was a bad purchase. But it looked like that one was going to be a good one. I had Anthony Thomas, man, the A-Train. Oh, I loved A-Train. And then suddenly they signed Thomas Jones, and A-Train's garbage, and my jersey's garbage. And then I got Thomas Jones because he's a bad motherfucker. And then suddenly he's gone, and Cedric Benson's the back. And
did you buy the Cedric Benson then?
I did not, and I never liked Matt Forte. I know he was good. He would catch passes out of the backfield and take it to the house. I thought he was inside. If you needed third and one, you couldn't give it to Matt Forte. Plus, he was sort of an asshole to people. So I did not buy a Forte or Cedric Benson, and Cedric is gone now, so he's no longer with us. So let's not besmirch him.
Of all people, I would buy a Forte jersey.
Whenever they signed Chester Taylor, I was like, yeah, let him take Forte's jersey. Oh, Michael Bush. I did like Michael Bush a lot when he's at Louisville. And with the Raiders, again, I'm not a big high or college fan, but I knew like he was doing good work with Louisville, and he was good with the Raiders, man. And he comes to the Bears, they don't use him. Why sign him if you're not going to use him?
Bruja has a good question for you. Did the Mike Glennon jersey have an extra large neck? Like, was it a fucking turtleneck jersey?
That's good. That's really good. But no, it should have, but it did not. And it's just a regular jersey. And when he took number 8, I thought, oh no, that's what Rex said. He shouldn't be number 8. It's a bad number for quarterbacks in Chicago.
Notorious TBG saying, hey, got a joke. Promise not to laugh. What's the opposite of Benzino? What is Benzino? I don't even know what that is.
I don't know, honestly.
Mike Glennon. I mean, a giraffe. Who was that player on that safety, I think it was, for the Niners, had a really long neck.
Oh, Merton Hanks.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a friend I grew up with from kindergarten on through college and everything. His name is James Daniels, and he was always a Dallas fan, and he fucking hated Merton Hanks. It was his least favorite for you because you're Dallas and San Francisco every year, seemingly in the playoffs against each other. And like Montana, Steve Young, Jerry, he didn't like any of those guys, but he hated Merton Hanks. He hated Merton Hanks like I hate Aaron Rodgers.
Because he always did that dance, too, that made him look like he had...
Yeah. I know, Steve, I'm in the minority on the Forte thing. I truly am. I know. He was a good player. I always wanted a guy like Jordan Howard that, like, you know, or LeGarrette Blount. It's just a big bowling ball to come in and run over your ass. When you need 3rd and 1, this guy's getting 4. You know, like, I feel like the Bears haven't had that in a while, you know? But... I mean, maybe we do now with Swift in there and Roshan, you know, if he gets better, I mean, maybe we got some power backs there.
We have a Lions fan podcaster that's
is friend. Don here?
No, it's not Don.
Okay, good.
He's a Lions fan podcaster who's good friends with us and vice versa. And he actually was at the draft because he has season tickets to the Lions, and he popped in the show and was talking football with us, and then came back the next day and showed us some footage of, you know, his view from the draft and stuff. It was really cool. And I totally forgot my fucking point.
You were gonna talk about Swift, probably, right?
Oh yeah. So I was on there in chat on their show tonight, just kind of recapping the draft, and they were talking about Swift. They're like, yeah, well, you got a running back who's never healthy. And I thought the same thing to myself when they brought him on the team. I thought, isn't he like oft injured?
But didn't he play well for Philly though? I thought he balled with the Eagles.
He had his best season for Philly, but I always remember him as a Lion. He
dropped that pass on opening day in 2020 when there was nobody in the stands that let us beat them. And I was very thankful for that.
Yeah. He's like that guy to me that I was like, oh, cool. We signed Sweat.
I like Sweat. I like Swift too. I think both signings are good.
But I thought to myself, okay, cool, we got Swift. But what does that mean? Is he going to play the full season? Is he going to get injured?
I don't appreciate Khalil Herbert enough. I know that. So, and I like Deontay Foreman when we had him last year too. He went to the Browns. So I know Herbert's a free agent after this upcoming year, after 24 is over. I think he's going to go. I think Swift is going to have more carries than Herbert. You never know about Roshan. He's just kind of sneaky there. Yeah, another number 8, Cade McNown. Oh, the best one. I don't mean to bounce around. John Buffone. John Buffone, big ass, I'm in shape, kick your ass, John Buffone, has a Rick Meyer Bears jersey.
Oh my God.
And it wasn't bought like, you know, like years later as a joke. He got it in 97. So he's got a Rick Meyer jersey.
So how many of your jerseys percentage wise would you say are like just the jersey, you know, the old school cheap shit?
Replicas versus authentic?
Yeah. With just like,
my cousin stole so many authentics from me. He took, I had an authentic Brandon Marshall. I even had Mohsin Muhammad authentic. He stole that. He did not take my Eric Kramer one, thankfully. He stole like 3 Cutler Elite ones, which I've purchased back. So I've had a bunch of authentics. Yeah. He didn't. I've got the authentic from 2003, Cordell Stewart in white. He did not take my Cordell Stewart. That's a jersey nobody else in America has. A Bears authentic in white Cordell Stewart, but I have it.
I have we were doing a jersey thing for the draft where we started off. You would have killed this because it was like a game. So PJ started off. He's like, I have a so and so jersey, and then we were around the panel. I was like, okay, I have a Walter Payton jersey. Anyone that said a jersey, nobody else could repeat. So, you know, so and so said I have a Walter Payton jersey. So it gets me like, I have a Bobby Engram jersey. So nobody else had that. So then they go around, everyone else had something different than that, I should say. And it got down to PJ, and he had one more jersey than I did, or two more jerseys than I did. And I'm like, damn, if Dan was in this, he would have murdered us.
Well, again, DJ stole a lot, allegedly, in case this would ever be a fucking slandered issue, but I doubt it. But he allegedly stole a bunch of shit from me, so I don't have as many jerseys as I used to. Man, he took my Brandon Marshall, too. That's one I wish I still had. Oh, my God, they've got Caleb Williams for pre-order now on the 1930s throwback. Am I going to get a fourth one? Am I getting a fourth one right now?
Is that the blocky one?
I'm a fucking idiot. The Bears love me. They salivate knowing I'm buying their gear.
You just gave up an entire paycheck for like five jerseys.
I mean, I need some. I need therapy. I'm like Jake Gyllenhaal in that gay cowboy movie. He's like, I can't quit you. Or is that the other guy that said that? The guy that played the Joker later.
That was both.
But he says, I can't quit you. That's me buying Bears jersey.
That was Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah. That's the one.
Oh my God. Yeah. The amount of jerseys I have are, they go back to my first jersey ever was a replica. It was a real jersey, not a replica, but a real game day jersey. It was Neil Anderson.
Ah, love Neil Anderson.
With the real, like that, like satin, like deep blue thick material that they had back then.
Yeah
had the sleeves and everything for it, and had the long sleeves, you know, down to here,
right
in the day. Neil Anderson, somebody stole it from me, so I feel your pain on that.
Fuck
yeah, never get that one back.
Oh, they've got a 25% off sale right now. Oh yeah, to quote the Macho Man Randy Savage.
They had a 75% off sale the other day that PJ sent us a screenshot of, not the link to. I tried to find it, but I couldn't. And I think when I did, it was already over. Illinois Jones is saying, come on, Shorty, get a Caleb jersey so you have it when he balls out, or you can burn it if he busts. I'm gonna be honest. This is going to piss you off, Dan. But
okay.
I burned my Jay Cutler jersey.
Yeah, that deserves for me to be pissed off. Why isn't that giving me the discount here?
You know why I did though?
Because you're a terrible human being.
Well, it was a $20 jersey that I bought on Michigan Avenue from some guy selling these cheap knockoffs. And it was like cubby blue. It wasn't even the right colors. It was so terrible. And then
I hate those, the fake jersey. Yeah. Someone gave me I don't want to interrupt your story, but I got a Roquan Smith a few years ago as a gift, and I don't want to besmirch anyone giving me a gift, you know, but it was one of those. And my Kevin White one someone got me was the same, the fake, the colors aren't right. And fuck that. Anyway, go ahead, though. I'm sorry.
No, it was like it was a totally awful blue. I hated the jersey in to begin with. I shouldn't even have bought it, but it was $20. So I was like, fuck it, I'll buy it. But it was a, you know, sewn on letters and stuff, numbers, I should say,
right.
Numbers and letters. But it just looked like crap. It didn't look like a real jersey. It was crap. So then when he upset me, I burned it. So I apologize to you.
My second jersey ever that I bought, because the first one was that authentic Eric Kramer one. It was so long ago, I had to send a store in Chicago a money order. Like, the internet was around, but like you couldn't buy like shit like that yet. So I got the number from like information and bought it. And I sent them, like I made an order like in handwriting or typed it or whatever and sent them a money order, and they sent me the jersey. But the second one I bought was a replica when the Bears were made by Champion. There's a guy that I still love to this day. I was so unhappy when he left. Curtis Conway.
I have a Curtis Conway. It's a replica though.
Mine's a replica of Curtis Conway with Champion. I loved Curtis Conway.
I think mine's a champion too. And sadly, though, I think I wore it on one of the shows that we had. It's a Conway, but the one of the letters on the side back when they, before they were on the
when they were in the sleeve,
One of them is a Salon. It's 31, so it has 80 on one arm and 31 on the other.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, that's probably why I bought it, because it was probably $10 or something. I was like, I don't care. I like both players, because I was a big Rashaan Salaam fan at the time.
Yeah, he had that great rookie year, except that he fumbled like way too many times. But you thought, dude, if this kid can just stop fumbling, he's going to be great. And then that's the only year he had. He had like 1,200 yards or something as a rookie, and probably had like 300 yards the rest of his life.
I know. That one on the sideline?
With Tampa? Yeah, against Tampa. And it was going to be like a 75-yard touchdown. And then the dude just like put a fingernail on the ball and it came out. I was like, oh, my God.
And it's weird how like different he looked to me when he was playing in college. He seemed to be a little bit more compact and not as big and kind of, I don't know, like it was weird. Like once he put on the Bears jersey, he looked totally different to me than when he was in college. Probably because he's playing against, you know, much bigger guys. But I just wasn't impressed with him as like I thought I was going to be. Even after his rookie season, it was like, he doesn't seem like the same player he was in college to me.
Oh, God. I don't mean to interrupt that thought. I'm just a stupid, stupid cuck is what I am. $143.19, because the discount was not applicable to custom jerseys or pre-ordered jerseys. So the fourth Caleb Williams jersey has been bought. There's no more to buy.
I'm a dirty cuck.
Fucking fool is what I am.
Illinois Jones says, serious question. How long do you see Keenan Allen playing with the Bears? More than one season?
Probably not. I hope he is. I would give him like a 2-year extension probably now. I mean, not a lot of money, but you know, just at least another year so it's not lame duck, but probably two. I thought that as soon as they made the trade, because they gave up a 4th-round pick for him. So you don't want him to. Thank you, Nikki. They don't want to give him a 4th-round pick for nothing. So I would extend him. He's only 32. I mean, you can still be good in this league as a wide receiver. You know, so I bet you that they let him walk, though.
Give him a 2-year contract and front load it so you can cut him after next year.
Yeah. Give him a big signing bonus so it doesn't necessarily hurt the cap number. Mm-hmm.
I think that they, to answer your question, Illinois Jones, I do think that I'm holding out hope that they are going to re-sign him. I kind of think that they will, but they're just going to get through the, you know, the draft and the final wave of cuts and stuff to see where they're at as far as who they're signing and all that jazz.
God, I'm such a dummy.
Yes, you are.
With these jerseys. Oh, my God. You know, I wanted to buy Sweat so badly last year after the trade, but I didn't.
I know. When I see you buying jerseys like that, I'm like, stop it. Don't jinx our player.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it.
Jerseys.
Maybe that's it. I bought Cutler's the day of the trade on April 2nd of 2009. Within a half hour, I had the white jersey ordered. Same thing with the Fields. When that dude came out and said, my Chicago Bears have drafted Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State. I'm like, I got to get that jersey. Got to get that jersey. And then, like I said, Caleb, and I got fucking 4 ordered now. 4!
I am honestly surprised you did not end up buying a 13 at first.
No, I wasn't going to do that. That happened to that dude on Chicago. Which one is it? Danny Parkins that did that just to be a dick. It was, you know, trying to throw shit in Fields' fans' faces. So, yeah, no, I wasn't going to do that, man. I was going to wait till the number came out for real.
Thigh and Smy saying here, Dan, I hope you have a way to display all these jerseys. That'd be cool. Like,
I sent a bunch of photos again to Phil and Shane when they were still at the bar room with all of them back in the day. But like I said, my cousin stole so many jerseys from me. So now I don't feel like I have as many as anybody else. I just have a lot of players. He didn't touch players you'd want to wear now. Like, I've got all the Rex Grossman ones. I've got the Mitchell Trubisky ones, you know, Justin Fields, but these aren't guys necessarily that anyone's wearing anymore. So Cordell, you know, Jared Allen.
Yeah, I mean, you get to a point where you're like, well, what is this worth to me at this point? What's a Cordell Stewart jersey worth to you right now? Like, was that necessary?
Man, I was just so, they tried to sign Jake Plummer, and I like Jake a lot in that offseason, and he bailed on us and signed with Denver. So they went to Cordell just to have somebody, and they drafted Rex in the first round. Cordell, he went to the Super Bowl 30 playing a slasher wide receiver, but he led the Steelers to the title game in, what, 97 and 01. So I thought maybe there's still some hope, some air in the tires there. So I don't know. I bought in. You know, I paid $250 for that one. It was authentic.
Oh, my God. Are you ever going to get to the point where you just pump your brakes on it and just wait for him to develop for a hot second?
Yes, yes. That's why I haven't bought anybody else other than Caleb. Okay. I would have bought Sweat. I'm not getting wide receivers or anything. I'm just going with the quarterback thing, man.
Listen, I'm like this close to buying a Caleb jersey myself.
Which one? If money was no object right now, which color, which one would you want of the four?
Just the classic home jersey.
The navy.
Blue one. Yeah. I don't like the white ones.
I love the white one.
I mean, I don't like to own them. They don't bother me as far as them playing away, but I just don't like buying them because I have a white Urlacher, but my authentic real game day jersey with the, it was almost a $500 jersey at the time.
I've got an authentic white Lance Briggs.
Oh,
I love Lance Briggs now. Again, not an Urlacher fan, but I love Lance Briggs.
It's nice to have those white ones for the hot days though, when you're like, oh my God, there isn't a cloud in the sky and I'm going to a game in Florida.
Yeah.
You want that white one, not the dark blue one, that's for sure.
What about the orange one? What do you think about that one?
I would never buy it. I love the 30s throwback with the blocking numbers, though.
Well, get that one then.
I love that one. Either the normal home jersey or that one would be the one I would buy.
I'm the dumbass that's going to have four. God, I got to stop. I got a wife to help fucking pay for. Not that she needs my help, but you know, shit, I got to be responsible. Like I'm not just buying for me now. Like I got to help her.
You guys looking to have kids?
No, she's 41, man. We went to high school together. Plus she had a hysterectomy a couple years ago. Health thing, you know.
Yeah.
Shit happens to women. You know how it is.
I know. That's why we can't either. But I get it. But if you could, would you want to?
Oh, if science would allow it, if she still had her girl parts, I would do it, of course. But then again, as George can tell you, not to like, you know, talk about his personal life because he's not here to defend it, but he has a lot of trouble. Like his lady had kids later in her 40s, and you know, there's a lot of issues that he's dealing with. I think it's like autism and stuff. Again, it's none of my business. I'm not trying to besmirch him. He's a great dude. I'm sure he's happy with his kids and his wife, but you know, that's a lot of work. So if we'd have been together earlier in life, which we were together, but we broke up. If we'd have stayed together, I'm sure we'd have had kids together. Yeah. Can I answer that one dude's question about Urlacher though? Because feel like here's the thing about Urlacher. And again, a lot of people forget this. And I'm not the morality police. I'm just going to give you a couple things that sort of rub me the wrong. You know, when he's a rookie in 2000, bought his jersey, the blue one. It was a replica. And then years later, when they created the orange ones, I think in 05, I bought that Urlacher orange one. So I still have those two. So I was a fan. In 03, when Soldier Field opened, reopened, but the new stadium, the one everybody hates now except me, you know, that looks like a spaceship, blah, blah, blah. It was on Monday night against Green Bay.
I don't hate it, by the way.
I love watching a game there. Thank you. But on Monday night, he had Paris Hilton at the game with him, not the morality police, openly cheating on his wife. And as the way the story went, at least it was reported at the time, his wife didn't even know he was cheating and just saw Paris Hilton in the stands, like wearing his jersey and stuff. And like, that's how you find out. Ooh, that sucks. And then, okay, but again, not the morality police. But the next thing was in, I think, 2008, the Chicago Sun-Times ran a couple of articles where he had again had some kids with a baby mama that went to court and said that he was in, this is alleged, I can't prove it, I'm not downing Brian Urlacher, I'm not saying he did this, but it was alleged in court by his baby mama that he was intentionally cruel to their kids, that he was trying to make his kid gay because he thought it was funny. She said he was painting the boy's toenails, it was like four, pink, and telling him to say things like, oh, that's so pretty, and buying him pink diapers. And she said he's intentionally conflicting the kid's sexuality at a young age because he thinks it's funny. Dude, I thought, what a monster. There's nothing wrong with being gay. I'm not talking shit about any of our gay friends and sisters here. Look, if they're gay, that's fine. But to do that to a child is pretty fucking low. But I don't know that he did it. That was alleged. I got two more for you. Got two more. Okay. 07, after we won this, lost the Super Bowl, rather. I wish it was won. Lost the Super Bowl. The whole 07 season, Urlacher's a dick to everybody. Oh, go to foxsports.com. Every time he would be asked by a press something, everybody talks about Cutler. Oh, he didn't smile enough. Urlacher that whole year was a dick to everybody and was just sucking up to Jay Glazer. I'll go read Jay Glazer's response for my thoughts. And then, so he's an asshole to everybody in 07. The thing with his child allegedly in 08. The thing with his cheating on his wife. And then to top it off, we trade for Cutler. Thank God we got a quarterback that can throw the ball. Within 2 hours, Urlacher and Bobby Wade were poisoning the team, telling everybody that Jay was a pussy. We don't want the trade, coming out saying we should have kept Kyle Orton. And then he gets hurt on opening night against Green Bay with his wrist, misses the entire season, and just fucking throws darts at Jay the whole season. I mean, all we're passing too much. He's throwing too many picks. Blah, blah, blah. Dude, support your fucking teammate. You know, the thing is, if Jay had been embraced, because Urlacher and Tillman and Briggs, all those guys are still there and still able to go. If they could have had that defense fired up for Jay and we had an offensive line around him and a wide receiver, I mean, maybe they win the Super Bowl with Cutler. But early on, Jay had great chemistry later on the defense was too old by that point. So what I'm saying, Urlacher played a part in Jay not succeeding there, a big part of tearing the team up chemistry-wise. So if you put A plus B plus C equals D. And then, lastly, he goes on Fox Sports 1 when it gets created, the whole season just talking shit about the Bears because he hated Phil Emery. Just constantly rubbing the Bears and saying that Phil Emery fucked me and all this shit. I hope the Bears never win again. And look, I haven't forgot that. You know, you're going around saying you hope the Bears lose all the time and you don't give a shit. You're just back in New Mexico or wherever doing whatever the fuck you're doing. Like, well, dude, that does bother me because I'm a Bears fan. I do give a shit. So I digress. That's my fucking soapbox.
I remember the thing about his kids, but I don't remember being in that manner. I remember just being something about him and his wife and his kids.
No, this wasn't his wife. This was a younger girl who looked like, I don't know for sure, she kind of looked like she might have been an Indian national. I mean, she could have grown up in America her whole life. I'm just saying her skin color and stuff. She's a beautiful girl. She looked like she was from India to me. But again, who am I? I'm just a white dude. I'm not, again, not saying anything prejudiced here. She's a good-looking woman. But it was allegedly someone he didn't marry, is what I'm saying.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. Like, Urlacher, the person after he's retired, things I've learned about him haven't really, you know, rubbed me the right way either. So he has definitely changed my perspective a little bit on him. But I'll be honest, if you wanted to come on the show, I'd be happy to have him on.
I mean, I would be respectful to him because he did give us, from 2000 to 2012, he gave us 13 seasons and the dude played hurt. And he came back, even Major Wright fucked his knee up and the last game of 2011, he still came back and tried to give us what he had. He missed the entire preseason that year. So look, man, I would give him respect, not to be duplicitous, but because he earned it from his football play.
Right.
I mean, he was a bad motherfucker. Remember in 2004, they tried to say the Sports Illustrated had that thing that said he was the most overrated player in the league. He comes back. He's defensive player of the year in 2005. 2006 to go to the Super Bowl, that fucking game against the Cardinals, and he had like 22 tackles. the Dennis Green game. I mean, shit, he was amazing as a player for the most part. I mean, the thing that if I could, if I really wanted to criticize this play, and again, I'm just a dude in a chair. So how could I? Yeah, he's an NFL player. The one thing that drove me nuts is by the time Rodgers got there, Brian wasn't the same guy because he was a little bit older. They would still have him dropping back in the cover two, and Rodgers would he could tell us before the play, hey, I'm going to throw the ball over Urlacher's head and in front of your safety, whoever, whatever garbage safety we had at that point. And they just did that or the slant over and over and over, and we couldn't stop it. We were like impotent cocks. Rodgers could tell us the play that's coming, and we could not stop it. And I just, that drove me crazy. Drove me crazy.
I get it.
Oh, I got to comment on this. And again, I'm so glad to be back with you. And I know I don't want to take up all the time. I do got to go in like 12 minutes, but the dude was talking about the firing. Now, look, I love Lovie Smith for real. As you know, you've blasted me for loving Lovie too much. Yeah. if you look at the full context on it, this is what people forget. In 2011, the Bears are 7-3 when Jay hurts his thumb against the Chargers.
I know.
And again, Donovan McNabb, homeboy, played Mount Carmel, from Chicago, is free. The Vikings have cut McNabb. He is begging every week to be signed. Now, is Donovan going to come in and win the Super Bowl? Maybe not. But here's the thing. If the Bears just win two games, they started 7-3, they make the playoffs, and Jay's back for the wild card game. He had surgery. Now, instead, they played Caleb Haney. And they go from 7-3, and they're 7-8. And Josh McCown wins the final game in Minnesota, the game Urlacher hurts his knee in. So they go from 7-3 to 8-8. If you just signed Donovan, you can't tell me Donovan doesn't win two games and you make the playoffs. Okay, next season, you're 7-1. 7-1. Yeah, they finished 10-6, but they were 7-1. And in both of those two seasons, they did not qualify for the playoffs. And at the time, I was like, I get it. I love Lovie, but if you're the Bears, you're like, dude, you just shit away two seasons and you lost the title game. And look at it this way, too. Lovie was Bears head coach for 9 seasons. And I love Lovie Smith. I'm just saying, though, Lovie was Bears head coach for 9 seasons. Do you know how many seasons he made the playoffs? The answer is 3.
3.
5, 6, and 10. That's it. 04, no playoffs. 07, no playoffs. 08, no playoffs. 9, no playoffs. We just told you 11 and 12. Done.
But to your point, they were 7-1, 7-3, and 7-1 with Cutler in the beginning when they first got him.
Yeah, well, Jay hurt his thumb against San Diego, and that ended his run. Yeah, 7-3, no playoffs, and 7-1. They had him again. He got concussed against the Texans. Jason Campbell goes to San Francisco. We let Colin Kaepernick throw for 300 yards on us on a Monday night, and Campbell gets sacked like 7 times.
And that was when Josh McCown came in, played better than Cutler had.
That was the 13. That's Trestman's first year.
Yeah, we kicked Dallas's ass at home.
Yeah, 13. That was Ditka's night when he got retired his jersey.
Yeah, we were on a roll there with McCown, and I thought, I was really pissed when they didn't just ride the hot hand.
Dude, blame Julius Peppers for that, because that's the game I've talked about so many times. The Bears and Green Bay, week 17, but of course there's 18 weeks now, but then it was week 17. And the Bears have a 28-20 lead in the fourth quarter. The winner goes to the playoffs and wins the division. The loser goes home. And you know what happened, right? Julius Peppers is in Rodgers' face, doesn't sack him, and he throws a touchdown to Randall Cobb with 28 seconds to go or whatever on a 4th and 14 to knock us out of the playoffs. And on that drive alone, Aaron Rodgers converted like 4 fourth downs. Yeah, I agree. But that 13 season is not Jay's fault. To your point, McCown was hot when he played, but Jay did enough for us to win that division. The fucking defense couldn't get off the field there. And again, Rodgers had 4 fourth down conversions on that last drive in the pass to Randall Cobb, which ripped my soul from my fucking body. So that was not Jay Cutler's fault. I love Mike Brown, by the way. Yeah, if Mike Brown is healthy in 06, we don't lose to the Colts. If Tommy's healthy in 06, we don't lose to the Colts in that Super Bowl, for sure.
That's exactly it. Mike Brown and Tommy Harris, if they're not injured in that Super Bowl, we win that game, period.
Fucking right. especially Mike Brown, man. Like Tommy, yeah, I know Tommy was so good in 04 and 5, but Mike Brown, I think if Mike's in the game, man, we get some turnovers.
There's no way that the Colts overcome that first kick return for a touchdown and
right with Devin
with a healthy defense in that game. There's no fucking way. Everyone would be talking about Rex Grossman a lot differently right now if we had won that game.
Yeah, and I mean Rex was 21-14 as a starter when you combine his postseason, because he lost to Carolina in 05. What was it, 29-21? I think that's the night that Steve Smith lit Charles Tillman up. I love Peanut, but Steve Smith had like 230 yards receiving. So Rex lost that game. He lost the Super Bowl, but he won the two playoff games against Seattle and New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you know what? This is when everything changes, my friend. This is the past is in the past. And as Ryan,
I love the poll saying, hey, I'm getting tired of talking about this shit. That's what he said, basically.
Wasn't Ryan Poole's like so refreshing when he got pissed off? He sat back in his seat and he's like, "That's just we're done with that. It's not happening anymore. We're moving on." I respect the history of this franchise, but I'm done talking about the history of this position. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Love it.
It all ends right now, and it's going to take. It has always been. It's always been what it would. What am I trying to say here? It has always been what it needed to be for this quarterback, for this type of quarterback to be the quarterback of the Bears. The last time that we can go back to a quarterback that is even similar in charismatic, similarity in their charisma and how they speak and just how they deal with things and how they see the field is Jim McMahon. Jim McMahon was a little more brash and he was a little more of an asshole, but we're in modern, we're in the modern world now and you can't be like a Jim McMahon anymore. But the closest thing that you can be to a Jim McMahon in this world for the Bears is Caleb Williams. This kid is going to be able to handle the media. He's going to be able to handle the press. He's going to be able to handle the fans.
But I will suggest, not to interrupt you, but Jim McMahon, though, people always say, he's an asshole. That's the press saying that. True. That's the press, like his fucking team. Now, I can't tell you how many people on the defense thought this or that, but I can't point out the Buddy signed him when he got him in Philly. So it's not like Buddy didn't want him, but his fucking teammates, his offensive teammates, other than maybe McKinnon, loved him.
He was up the time.
That's what I'm saying. His fucking linemen loved him. Like that's the thing Cutler didn't have. Cutler had Brandon Marshall support and Kyle Long support. But a lot of people didn't like him, but the team loved Jim McMahon. Mm-hmm. Even Tomczak and McMahon were great friends. Well, I get Doug Flutie didn't like McMahon, but so I'm just, for the most part, McMahon was popular with the team. It's the media. He didn't give a shit what they thought about him and didn't kiss their ass. So they have to write these stories like, he's an asshole because their feelings were hurt.
1,000%.
Yeah, man.
And, he was just of the time. And when you compare the two, Caleb is the current quarterback that the Bears need of the time.
Did you see what Jim said to him?
No.
Yeah, Jim tweeted him. He said something, congratulations. And if you play hard in Chicago and if you win hard, if you win in Chicago, you'll be a legend, and wished him luck. He said, if you just play hard, they'll know if you're playing hard. If you play hard and you win, you'll be a legend.
Man. And he was doing all the research on the Bears and the history of the Bears and players and the history of the city and the fans. And he came away with knowing that if he becomes if he just wins a Super Bowl, like just to your point, one Super Bowl.
One. That's all you got to do. McMahon's still getting paid for fucking signing shit, and he won the Super Bowl almost 40 years ago.
If he is a 4,000-plus yard passer with 30-plus touchdowns and, 12 interceptions or less every year, or, 18 interceptions or less every year, and he wins this one Super Bowl and he shatters all the records and he's taking us to the playoffs every year and he's beating Green Bay and he's balling out, winning those like dramatic games where you're like, how the fuck did he do that? He is going to become bigger than Michael Jordan in this city. He will be of the likes of Walter Payton. He will go down as the greatest of all time, and in the talks of the greatest of all time of this team. And they might have to unretire some older number just to like retire his by the time he's done, if he accomplishes the things that he admits he can do and we all think he can do. It's going to be an exciting time to watch these next. This is Dan. I've waited my entire life. I don't know if I've ever told you this because we haven't really done a show in a while. And you know, it was all about Justin Fields for that time.
Me too.
Like when I started scouting him, like I said in the beginning of the show, and I was like, well, fuck, we have Justin, and man, it would be what could I just feel like this kid's going to be better than Justin, but you know. I truly feel that Justin could be in an MVP talks in a couple of years. And as long as he is, it's not going to matter. Like bring it on. He'll beat him in the playoffs.
I just hope Justin stays in the AFC and not Me around too. Us, but go ahead.
So I just never thought it would even be a possibility, much less a reality that he's our quarterback. So there's no reason to talk about it. You support your player, you support your team. You know, Justin was our guy. But I've waited my entire life. All I've ever wanted was the first pick in the draft with a quarterback like this, a quarterback who everyone's been talking about for the last, you know, since high school. The quarterback who, you know, teams are, they're going to tank a game towards the end of the season just to get that guy because they're closest to getting him and they're in the hunt with another team. You know, we didn't have that luxury because somebody else, you know, lost for us to get that pick, which makes it even better, which makes it like that could possibly end up going down as the greatest trade of all time, even bigger than the, you know, the Cowboys trade back in the 90s. If he does pan out to be what we all think he can be. And my entire life I've waited for this. And the fact that this is it's happened is just.
Yeah. To your point,
it feels weird.
To your point, the quarterbacks with that kind of hype and our lifetime coming out would have been John Elway, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, Drew Bledsoe, and Rick Meyer. They were kind of talked up as 1-2, 1A and 1B. And
Rick Meyer had a monster season his rookie year for Seattle. So yeah, we gave up two first round picks for him.
But there haven't been too many quarterbacks with that kind of hype, like you're saying, and we got one of them.
And a lot of people make the argument that like the first pick in the draft quarterback very rarely wins a Super Bowl. But when you look at the ones that do, those are the ones that are this kind of guy that everyone's, you know, it's been
Elway and Manning right there.
They've been looking at him since high school on, and they're like trying to lose games to get him. You know, like they weren't doing that for Tim Couch. They weren't doing that for the fucking, what's the guy that got drafted by the Eagles a few years ago?
The guy always has the bumps on his face. It looks like he needs a bath.
Yeah, he's got acne issues.
Yeah. What is that guy's name? He looks really, really. He went to Indianapolis. He went to Washington.
They weren't the Jared Goffs of the, you know, of it, the closest thing I can think of that. Well, he wasn't the first pick in the draft, but somebody that that could have been that guy would have been like the current Browns quarterback,
Deshaun Watson,
like he was, you know, Trevor Lawrence, you know, they were kind of those quarterbacks you've been watching from day one. And, you know, even Justin Fields was in that list for, as far as high school goes. And, but, you know, out of the gates in college was Trevor Lawrence. And then, succeeding him was Deshaun Jackson, and he played really well in college for, you know, several years before he was, as far as I'm concerned, that Trubisky draft, if I did it over 100 times, it would be Deshaun Watson every time. And if he didn't, who knows what would have happened if he didn't derail his own career that way. Right. But the point being is that people make the argument that the number one pick quarterback, they don't necessarily always win the Super Bowl, and that's not true. It's the ones that are not projected to be this type of quarterback like this quarterback has been. And there's a small handful of them that have.
Jim Plunkett, Elway, and Peyton Manning. It's happened at least three times off the top of my head, number one picks in the draft to win Super Bowls. And we're talking about multiple Super Bowls.
Right.
For all three of them.
And God knows where Andrew Luck would be right now if he didn't retire early.
Exactly.
He was the sky. I mean, he was going upwards, man. He had just signed.
He was afraid of concussions and had a bunch and didn't want to be struggling when he got older. You can't fault him for that.
Cannot at all.
Hey, Dan, I got to go, man. I love being back on the show with you. Let's do it, man. Let's keep going. I hate to be abrupt, but I've got to go to work, man.
I kept watching the clock the entire time. I can't believe we're an hour and a half in.
I know, it was so fun. It was so fucking fun, and I got to pull the cord. I got to go. I got to pee, put my headset up, and go to my other job, man. I'm sorry.
Get out of here, guys. Guy.
All right, man. Next Monday.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll do this again next Monday. Yes.
Next Monday. Hey, Dan, for real. It was great talking with you. Great.
Hey. Feelings mutual, my friend. We'll see you next
Monday. Thank you, sir.
Well, that's the end of the show. That was a lot of fun. Let's wrap this shit up. I mean, guys, I think this was a pretty fantastic draft. I think you can all agree, right? I'm looking at it as a generational draft, certainly for the Bears. And I'm excited, man. I live in Atlanta, so I could really give a damn what happens to this summer. This, as far as I'm concerned, I can get rid of the 102 degree, 100 plus humidity days here and just bypass all that. Let's go right to the fall and get into the football season, because I know I'm just as excited as all you guys are for it. And I want to thank all you guys for hanging out with us tonight in chat. Cliff, Victoria, Aunt Miss, Thigh. That's my producer. Bruja, STC, Bearski hopping in. Let's see. Sorry, we're just ending at Bearski. You always hop in too late, man. Mo Bierman, the Scrolls, STC, Illinois Jones, Mr. Mayhem, Aunt Miss, you guys, Vizzo Joe, you guys are all Curtis. Love you, my man. You guys are all what makes this go around and around. Bruja, every one of you guys, Steve Phillips, you know who you are. If I missed you, Jeremy, Pepe, Sylvia, appreciate you hopping in. Great to see you again. Eduardo Miguel, great to see you again. You guys are what makes BCP go around. Without you, I promise you, we would not be doing this. Because why would we just talk to ourselves? That's called a phone call. So thank you guys for joining us tonight. We have Eric Kramer joining us this Thursday on Bears Country Podcast. That's going to be a lot of fun. He's going to give us 15 minutes of his time. We're going to kind of get his thoughts on this draft, on the new quarterback. Maybe make some comparisons to him or some contrasts to him and see what he thinks the direction of this team is going. That's going to be a lot of fun. So thank you guys for joining us tonight. We'll see you this Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And on a 1, 2, 3, I'm going to end this shit myself. On a 1, 2, 3, Bears!